Other announcements are in the bulletin. If you haven't picked one up, please do so before leaving today. If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. This morning I planned on sharing something with the church, or a message with everyone, that deals with the year going forward and deals with our annual business meeting and vision and whatnot, and decided to postpone that a week because obviously many of our members would not be able to make it out. But so as I was thinking about that and thinking about what to share, and I will be starting a series on Joshua in two weeks from today, rather than starting that series today, I wanted to take time to talk about the importance of missions, or the importance of having a world vision. Last week we had just a wonderful week of, or the week before last, excuse me, we had a wonderful week of prayer. And we got together and every night, and there was a good dozen people out every night, which is just phenomenal. One of the best turnouts for a prayer meeting that we've had at our church. And the theme of it was foundations, which I think is very important in the day and age that we live in. And the reason for that is this. There's so much coming against the church today, including pressure on the church to get off the foundation that Jesus Christ has called us to live on, or the foundations, I should say, that Jesus Christ has called us to live on. And so we not only talked about, and we had some wonderful messages not only from during that week from different people within the body. Joe shared. I was going to say Simon was there, but Simon didn't share. Cindy shared. Nancy shared. Jim shared. Just a really good week where we talked about different things. Things that we need to maintain doing as a church. And when I say as a church, not just what we do here when we come together, but as we worship God as individuals. Our lives are to be marked by these things, and the things that we talked about were praise, prayer, the Word of God, the ministry of the church, or a ministry one to another, evangelism, sharing Christ, and missions, or having a world vision. And I shared on that topic. It was the last night of our week of prayer. And as I was sharing, I really felt it becoming a message or a sermon. And I thought, you know, this is really something I'd like to share with the body. So this morning I'm going to share that devotion, except, you know, I've expanded it to be more than 10 minutes. Because Henry says I'm paid by the hour, so no, I'm just kidding. But I think it's important that if we are not only believers, and if we're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we've been called to be a disciple. In fact, I'm thinking, you know, of some of the brief messages that Jesus shared, or God has shared with people throughout time, you know, in the Word of God. Sometimes God spoke at length to people, but other times he just said something short, quick, but deep and penetrating to him. And I think one of the shortest, quickest, but most penetrating calls that people received, good morning, Esther, guys, good morning, good to have you guys with us today, is when he called men to be followers of him. And it was just two words, follow me. It was a call of discipleship. And the call of discipleship was not just something that God called those 12 men to do, but it was something that he commissioned them to do to everyone, male and female, everywhere. And if you and I are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we've been called to become followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I don't think you can be a true follower or a genuine follower unless you are someone with a global vision. because Jesus Christ is all about saving the world. In fact, it's not my text this morning, I'll read that in just a moment. But in fact, what is one of the most beloved scriptures that there is in the Bible? God so loved the what? The Jews, United States of America, or the world? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's look at our text this morning and let's ask God's blessing to be with us as we remind ourselves of the importance of having a global vision to make disciples. Matthew 28, verse 19, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Let's bow our hearts and let's ask God's blessing to be with us this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and grace. We thank you for the power and presence of the Holy Spirit that's in this room this morning and in our hearts and our lives. And we ask, O God, this morning as we look to the Word of God, that you would speak to us, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit through this, your speaker today. May your anointing not only be upon me as I share, but upon every one of us as we hear this morning. Speak to our hearts, God, and give us all a greater burden for world missions than we have ever had before. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, as a church, and as I share this morning, I'm not trying to alleviate or minimize the importance of reaching where we are at. It's important that we understand that we've been called here as a church, not only as a place where we can come together and worship God and learn more about Jesus and pray for one another, but to be a light and a witness to the community of Norwich and actually all of New London County. In fact, a lot of people who go here don't actually live in town, but I'd say almost 50-50 this morning are Norwich and surrounding areas. So I'm not trying to minimize that, but it's important that we don't get so caught up in what we're doing that we forget that there's just as great a need, if not a greater need, in lands far across the sea as far as reaching people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, as we study the Word of God, we see that the heart of God is a heart for the world or for the nations. And we see this in many areas of Scripture. And in fact, in the calling of Abraham. And of course, if you remember your Bible stories very well, Abraham was the father of many nations, and the primary nation that Abraham was father of was the nation of Israel. And Israel was a unique nation above all the nations of the earth because God revealed himself in a very unique way to this nation by giving them the law of God. It was a wonderful revelation that God gave them. You know, Moses, who was the first leader of the nation of Israel, received the Ten Commandments, and he also received all the different laws as it related to life, but also worship. And it was this people whom God chose to reveal this. But as far as the ability, number one, to know God and to worship God, it was never to be a Israel-only club. From the very beginning, it was God's intent that all nations, even though he was giving this special revelation to the nation of Israel, his will was that all nations would come to know Jesus through them, or come to know God and worship God through them. We see this at the initial calling of Abraham and of the nation of Israel in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. And Genesis chapter 12, that's the scripture where God calls Abraham and tells him he's going to be a great nation, or his descendants will be a great nation. And the last part of that calling, God says this to Abraham: all peoples, or all nations. In fact, the word we're going to use in just a few moments, or phrase that we're going to use in just a few moments, is people groups, and I'll explain why. All people groups on the earth will be blessed through you. So what was God saying here? I'm going to make you a great nation, so you're going to be great, and your descendants will be great, and it'll be just fine, me and your descendants, you know, through the rest of time. No, I've called you, and I've blessed you, and I've revealed myself to you so that all nations of the world could be blessed, or will be blessed. It is the heart of God for all nations, all people groups to come to Jesus. And he reiterated that to the nation of Judah later on. We read, and we've been studying the book of Isaiah in our Wednesday night study, and we're currently in Isaiah 42, and verse 6 says, and he's speaking to the nation of Judah, which Israel broke up into two nations, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, and this is the southern kingdom. And God, in speaking to them, says, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I'll take hold of your hand, I will keep you, and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles. Again, the purpose of Israel or Judah wasn't just that they would know Jesus, but through them, everyone would know the Lord. And everyone would have the freedom to worship God. That the law, the Bible tells us in the New Testament, the law that God gave the Israelites was something that God would use to bring all men and women to Jesus. And this heart for all the nations is not just something we read about in the Old Testament. You know, Father God, it was the will of Father God for all the nations to know Him. But it's something that we also see in the unity of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. In the ministry and the heart of not only the Father, but the Son and the Spirit. Case in point, the scripture that we shared by way of introduction this morning, the Great Commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And that's not the only place in Scripture where Jesus commissions the disciples to win everyone. We read it in Matthew, but also into Mark, preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel of Luke, as the Father has sent me, so have sent I you. Excuse me, that's John 20, 21. And in Luke's gospel as well, very similar words. In fact, in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost is upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. God was never shy about sharing what His vision was, which was a global vision. In fact, I think it's interesting when Jesus speaks about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, when He says power, when you read that in context with the Gospels, He's talking about the Comforter who would come and would empower His church to be established and to do the work of the ministry. That He says the purpose of the ministry of the Holy Spirit would be to reach the entire world with the gospel. And a lot of different things bear that out as we read through the book of Acts. Number one being the way the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, and what I'm talking about specifically is the manifestation of God's Holy Spirit upon the apostles. Because what did they do? What was one of the signs that let both them and others know that something supernatural was going on in their lives? Of course, there was the sound of the rushing mighty wind. There were the tongues of fire. But they all spoke in different languages, languages that were spoken all over the world. And that just wasn't, and that was a wonderful sign that God had taken control of them and God had filled them. You know, imagine, you know, speaking another language that you did not know and people recognized it. You know, whether they were Parthians or Medes or whoever they were hearing God being praised in their own language. But it was also a subtle sign that this gospel that they had received wasn't just for the Jew. It was for the Jew first, but also for the Gentile. God was letting them know that this was something, that what they had received, the good news of Jesus, was for everyone and everywhere. And then, of course, as we study the lives of the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul, God moved upon their hearts mightily, not just to share the gospel with their brethren, but to every living human being, no matter who they were, no matter what, where they came from, no matter what they believed. It was their burden, their vision, to share Jesus with them so that they could come to know Jesus, God not being a respecter of persons. And we see it in the life of Peter, how God, even though seemingly, at least as I read Scripture, God was crystal clear as far as the gospel is for everyone, God had to give him a vision of unclean animals, unclean animals to the Jew, to eat. He commanded him to eat those things. He says, no, I won't eat those things. And he's kind of wondering what it's all about. And then all of a sudden, a Roman sends messengers to him because he wants to hear about Jesus, because an angel came and told him to find Peter. And then, of course, at the call of the Apostle Paul, and Paul, before he became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, was a persecutor of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God raised up and God met Paul on the way, on the road to Damascus, and he was blind. And so, they brought him in and he couldn't see. And then God moved upon a man named Ananias to go and pray for Paul. And Ananias is saying, "This, I know who this is. This person's a persecutor of the church." And God responds, "I've called him to be a messenger both to Israel, but also the Gentiles. What is the will of the Father, the command of the Son, is the ministry of the Holy Spirit." And that's reaching the nations with the message of Jesus. So it is the will and it is the heart of God. And not only for God to do, but for God's church to do. Disciples are called to make disciples, and the span or the scope of discipleship is worldwide. And if we don't have that worldwide vision, do we truly have the heart or the mind of Christ or the heart of a disciple? Now you might be saying, "Well, Pastor Randy, you know, that's all well and good, and I know you all, and I thank God for you." In fact, one of the blessings this past year is that, you know, a couple years ago when things were tight financially, we had to cut back on some of our missions giving. We've been able to restore that in Jesus' name, and this year we'll be able to take on additional missionaries. And the reason for that is, of course, the blessing of God, but also your faithfulness in missions giving. And so I commend you for that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there might be some who think, you know, we have missionaries, and we do. We've got a map down there. We only have a few of the missionaries that we support. We're, you know, waiting on prayer cards to get them up there. But we support many missionaries. I forget exactly how many. I wish Jim was here, but, you know, roads are kind of slick, so a lot of people stayed in today. But we support a number of missionaries all over the world. The Assemblies of God is one of the biggest mission-sending organizations, and I'm sure other church organizations also send many, many missionaries. And so people might say, "Well, you know, everything's good. There are, you know, every continent and in most nations there are missionaries. But as we, you know, look at not only whom God wants to reach, and actually look at how things are, we see there's still much work to be done. One of the, and we often share this verse as it relates to the second coming of Christ. As far as one of the things that is necessary before Christ returns and sets up his millennial kingdom. That being this, as we read in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. This is the promise, not only the promise, but the call of Jesus. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Two important things about this verse. Number one, it's a promise. It does show us the heart of God, in fact, that he wants to reach everyone. But it's a promise that before Jesus comes, every nation, and we'll talk about what that word nation means in just a moment, but every nation will have an opportunity to hear about Jesus. So that's a promise, but it's also a commission. Because Jesus is no longer here. And I know, and in fact, I'm excited about stories about, like Cornelius, of people who have dreams where Jesus comes to them and tells people to follow them and believe them. In fact, we're hearing a lot of those stories in the Muslim world about people finding Jesus through dreams and, you know, God revealing himself to them. But the primary way that God has chosen to spread the word of God is the preaching and teaching of the word of God through obedient servants, through missions, through people going. And even though there are missionaries all over, there's still many, many people groups. Not only don't have a church or a pastor or a preacher, have never even heard about Jesus. They don't have a Bible, not even a New Testament, not even a Gospel of John. And so this scripture is unfulfilled. Why this is important is for this reason. When Matthew 24 talks about nations, the Greek word is it actually means people groups. The Greek word is the word ethnos, which could mean people or tribe or clan or group. And I know there are many countries that have churches, but there are many clans or groups or ethnicities within those countries that still have yet to be reached with the gospel. In fact, I got there, and there's if you want more information on this, there's a tremendous organization, and I heard about it years ago, and it just someone reminded me of it this past week, and I'm going to check that a little bit more often. In fact, it gives you a people group to pray for every day. That in the world today, there are over 17,000 different people groups. Some, as far as tribes, have their own language and dialect. Some don't even have a written language. And of those 17,000 different ethnos, people groups, there's over 7,000 who do not have an adequate witness of the gospel. Now, I'm concerned about, you know, the United States. I'm concerned about Norwich and Groton and New London and Jewett City and the surrounding areas. There's a great need there. But there's something that we have that 7,000 people groups don't have. We have churches in every one. We have Bibles available that people can buy it in their own language. Almost every language that's spoken here, you can get a scripture. Or you can go, you know, on the Bible app and have it in whatever language that you have. But there are over 7,000 people groups. 40% of the world's population. 3 billion people who do not have an adequate witness of the Bible. There's much work to be done. In fact, not only do they not have a witness, they don't even have a written language to have a Bible in. And I don't know if any of you remember the Vanarias. They're missionaries that we still support, and they're in Italy now working with refugees. But prior to that, they went to a small, isolated, I think it was in New Guinea, tribe or group village of people. Very primitive, no internet or anything like that. Only had spoken language. And they went in over a period of 13 years. They learned the language. They formed an alphabet for the language. And they got the entire Bible printed for them so that they could not only become Christians and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but grow in their faith. This is what God desires. There's over 7,000 groups that God desires to do this very, very same thing in. There's still a lot of work to be done. We should also have a world vision for missions, because there's no assurance. And I know some people say this. It's part of their theology. And they have heard it from different sources, some well-respected. I'm not going to mention any this morning. There's some people believe that people can receive redemption or forgiveness of sins and eternal life without hearing about Jesus Christ, without hearing the good news that Jesus Christ has come to save sinners. And although there are some very noted and well-respected people in Christianity, evangelical Christianity, who preach and teach this, there is absolutely no assurance of this in the Word of God. Just one of many scriptures that we could look to is from Acts chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. The Bible says, "Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." Only one name, one person, one individual, and by knowing him, can guarantee you forgiveness of sins and the assurance of eternal life, and that is the name of Jesus. That is the person of Jesus. And how can they believe unless they hear? Book of Isaiah, Book of Romans, chapter 10. Another reason why we need to have a global vision, that our hearts really need to burn for missions, is because none of us would be here unless God moved upon an individual to leave his family, leave his home, leave his comforts, and go to a strange people with a strange language and strange customs and share with them Jesus. Now, I know we live in America. I know Christianity came to America in a different way. Missionaries didn't come and save pagan colonists. We brought it with us. But someone had to go to either Europe or Africa or India or something and share Jesus with them in order for people to find Jesus. We are all products of missions. And it costs us nothing. It was the price on that, of course, was paid by Jesus and by those men and women themselves who left their place of comfort and went to unknown lands or foreign lands to share Jesus with. What does Jesus say to his disciples as far as what we should do in reaction to the free things that we have received? Freely you have received, freely give. Amen? So where does that leave us? Does that mean, and who knows, maybe out of this service, someone will feel the call to missions, and next Sunday you'll be gone in some far-off land. That would be really neat, actually. It'd be kind of exciting. But where does that leave us, then, as a church? How can we demonstrate, since we've been called to reach the uttermost parts of the earth, if we are disciples, how do we respond to this? Very quickly, four things I'd like to share with you. Number one, we need to understand that missions is a team effort. Missions is not something, or reaching the uttermost parts of the earth is not just something someone else does and we've got our own thing going on. Even though you might live in Norwich and never step out of New London County for your entire life, and there are people who are like that, and there's nothing wrong with that. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, not only are you called to reach the uttermost parts of the earth, you can be part of, or you're an integral part of reaching the uttermost parts of the earth. One of the great missionary books of the Bible is the book of Philippians. And the reason I say that is the Philippian people, the Philippian church, was all about reaching other people for Jesus. Paul says this about them in Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. You know, he didn't view himself, you're doing your thing there, and I'm doing my thing, you know. In fact, this is a prison letter. He wrote this while he was in prison. But, you know, I'm doing my own thing and going on my missionary journey, and I'm glad for what you're doing. I hope you're glad for what I'm doing. He was saying, what I am doing in reaching other people for Jesus, you, because of your involvement with me, your heart for me and for the people that I am reaching, you are just as much a part of what I am doing, because you have joined with me in spirit. If we are going to fulfill the calling of God upon this church, our lives, to be a missionary church or a church that affects the uttermost parts of the earth, we need to realize that we're part of the team. And that we have just as much a responsibility to reach, you know, Miami, which I think is actually Burma now, or Egypt, or any one of these, and these are just a few countries here, any of the countries that we support through our missions giving. We're part of the team. And so we must be involved. And of course, the elemental thing that God has called us to do as far as reaching the world is to pray. There's a beautiful scripture. It's actually a messianic scripture, speaking of Jesus from the Old Testament. The Father says to the Son in Psalm chapter 2, verse 8, ask me, which is prayer. Prayer literally means to ask. Ask and I'll make the nations your inheritance and the ends of the earth your possession. So God was speaking how the Son, and is he not the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the world is an inheritance. And, you know, you might be sitting there and say, well, this is regarding Jesus. Yes, it is. But are we not joint heirs with Christ? And do we not believe as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ that we will rule and reign with him? Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but we will rule under him. Should we not also, since it is the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ to see the world come to Jesus, to be asking God, believing God for the nations to come to him, including all 7,066 unreached people groups? In fact, a couple weeks ago in the Bible study, is the indication in Scripture that even the remotest Bedouin people, you know, who are out in remote areas, will declare the glories of God. That's the extent of the heart of God, how much God wants to reach people. Even people that we might view as, you know, too far out, you know, God is concerned about. And Paul echoes this in the New Testament, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may be spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked people and evil people, for not everyone has faith. Church should never be to the place where, thank God we got, and I thank God we have a church. And I thank God, even though we are living in a place that is becoming increasingly hostile to Christianity and Christian faith, and kind of another message for another time, we still have the freedom to come and worship God and share Jesus with other people. And we should rejoice in that, but our hearts should be grieved. There are other communities, and you know, there's so many communities and villages that don't even have one church. You know, how many gospel, Bible-believing and preaching churches do we have in New London County? And I'm not saying we shouldn't plant more or that we have too many. We could still have 1,000 more churches because there's so many people here in the area. But we should also be grieved in heart to the point that it moves us to a place of a bitter prayer or heartbroken prayer that God would save the nations, that God would raise and send missionaries, that God would open doors and that governments would allow missionaries to come in and preach the gospel, that God would lay a country or a region or a people or even a little village, as in the case of the Vanarias, to leave all the comforts of home and all the stuff that we have here and to go to some very, very primitive places. I don't know if anyone remembers the village that the Vanarias went to, but you know, it's not like you'd like to go spend vacation there. And they lived there for 13 years. But because God was all over them and God's heart was for that people, they couldn't do anything but that. And that requires prayer. It's not just a matter of good. I know there's missionaries out there. We need to pray for them because Paul, of all people, was earnestly seeking for and desiring the prayers for others. Prayer of others for him, excuse me. In fact, not only should we be praying for open doors and revival everywhere from large cities to even the smallest of communities, we need to pray also that God would uphold and sustain not just our missionaries, and we have a missionary week. In fact, this week is Ed and Christine Vergara. I actually have a video for them I was going to play today. They're retiring, and they're still going to be involved somewhat in missions, but they're actually retiring. But that God would support these individuals who are facing challenges and hardships and what God has called them to do. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6. It's the closing verses of the letter, 19 and 20, not the very last. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me, that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Do you ever feel tired? Do you ever feel fearful? Do you ever feel discouraged? Do you ever feel, I was going to say grumpy. I won't say grumpy. Yeah, I'll say grumpy. Missionaries go through all those same things, yet without the support of in some instances, without the support that we have here, where we're in a place where there are well established churches. We need to be praying for our missionaries that God would minister to their souls and give them strength and comfort and everything that they need in their time of need. Thirdly, and very, very quickly now, just two more things. Amen. And you folks have been great this morning. I just so blessed to see every one of you out today. And no judgment upon those who couldn't, but just a blessing to be out. Number three, Matthew chapter 9, it's one of those commissioning scriptures, one of those encouraging scriptures as far as reaching people for Jesus. 37 and 38, Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord, or pray the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." So, you know, here God is talking about missionary prayers, and one of the things we should pray for is that God would raise up missionaries. An interesting thing happens in chapter 10, and it's not like something that happened a lot later. In fact, it could have happened right on the heels of Jesus saying this. He said, I send you out, I'm sending you out, lay hands on the sick, cast out demons, do the work of the ministry. A couple things about that. Number one, we need to be ministering in where God has placed us. God is not, God maybe hasn't called us to, you know, faraway lands, but God has called us here in our Jerusalem and our Samaria. Number two, and maybe I'm stretching the scripture a little bit, I just ask that you indulge me a little bit. I think if you ever get, and you're never too old, if you ever get the opportunity to go on a missions trip, Joe, I know, Joe, you've been on them. John, I'm not sure if you've been on. Henry, you went out to Antigua, I believe. It just opens your eyes to the need that is out there, even a short-term missions trip. And God, I'm not saying you do it because you want to do it, but be open to God moving you to do something. And it doesn't even have to be in a faraway land. It could be something here, you know, going, helping out Convoy of Hope and, you know, hurricane or disaster relief or something. Seeing people who are both in physical need, but also in spiritual need. It will change your life. It broadens your perspective. And I think this is especially important for us as Americans, because in America, we have tons of food. In fact, Larry shared about even how, you know, people who are having a tough time, they've just been overwhelmed with food, which is wonderful. I'm not taking anything away from that. But, you know, several years ago, I went to Port-au-Prince and, you know, Port-au-Prince, Haiti, the capital of the country, rubble, trash everywhere, poverty everywhere. I saw a video from another missions organization that goes out there. They do medical missions. Kids actually eat dirt cookies made out of mud there. I'm not kidding. I'm not making it up. They bake them in the sun and they sell them. It's just horrendous conditions that the world is under. But even greater than that, there is a spiritual need. If you ever get an opportunity to go, if God moves you to go and get involved with something, go. It will expand your vision. It's, you know, the Holy Spirit does it, but He also puts us in situations to see that. In fact, when I went to Haiti, I wish you all were there with me. And Joe, I imagine where you went in Uganda, that must have been. And lastly, it's important that we share materially. One of the favorite scriptures that believers like to share is from Philippians 4:19. My God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. I love that scripture. I think of that scripture. I quote that scripture. I share it sometimes before we take our offering or sometimes when we're praying, because, you know, our needs aren't only financial. We have physical needs, emotional needs, mental needs, spiritual needs. And we look at that and we just kind of take that one verse without reading it in context or reading why in the scripture Paul said that confidently to this specific church, because you don't see that in other books, and not that God wouldn't. But look, just going back a few verses and reading verses 15 and 16 of that chapter, we see a key reason why this church could be confident that all of its needs would be taken, because they were people who not freely received. They were also people who freely gave. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I sent out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. And in fact, the indication, if you read the next few verses, is that they continued to support Paul and the work of the ministry in other areas. God has blessed us so much. Amen? In fact, this year, and we'll go through the finances next week of the church, we had just a tremendous year as far as giving. We had some lean years, and God was faithful then to provide. even in those lean years, we were able to, you know, purchase a new boiler with cash and different things. And this year has just been a tremendous blessing. And God's the same either way. How important it is for us that we just don't get greedy and just put it in our storehouses, but that we invest it wisely for the kingdom here in the area, but also to the uttermost parts of the earth. As we maintain a global vision of the church, it's not why we do it. Why we do it is because that's the heart and the will of God to reach the nations, to reach the people groups, the ethnos. We have the assurance that God will provide every need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Henry, if you would come, we're going to sing a chorus in closing today to close out the message before we close in a word of prayer and commitment as a church and as believers to maintain a global vision.